It's just funny, yeah, to look around and seeing all the kids playing with toys in the pews.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, we were not allowed to do that.
You're like, bitter. You're like, we had a, I had a rosary, maybe.
I had to, like, make stories up about the stained glass people. Like, that's all I had to do.
I'm Anne McNamee-Keels.
And I'm Stephanie Chavera.
And this is Lapsed,
a podcast about growing up Catholic. And today we're talking funerals.
Just a light, cheery subject.
You know, I was trying to think of like how to segue this. And I was like, well, Easter's next weekend from when we're recording this. And
we're coming up on Holy Week, which is a lot of death talk.
Right. A lot of it's very death heavy, even though, you know, you think of bunnies and colors and flowers.
Yeah. It's no, Lent is super death heavy.
A death time. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's such a strange holiday. I don't know. Do you know like how old you were when you like put it together that it was about death and not chocolate?
That's a good question. I don't know. The thing is, I only went to Catholic school, so like they were so intermixed from the start, you know?
Right.
I feel like in kindergarten, there was like bloody Jesus and also bunnies. Like you're already doing that stuff. So
yeah.
And I had a nun for first grade, so I feel like she did not. I don't remember exact.
She didn't pull any punches.
I remember coloring a lot of pictures of like Mary, Jesus. Like I just a lot of saints and a lot of – so I'm sure there was like – color stations of the cross.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, so it's kind of all mixed in. What about you?
I mean, yeah, right, like so there's the stations of the cross is the thing you're doing at that time if you're raised Catholic and going to church. But it still felt like Easter was separate from that for a long time because I think it's had a lot to do with color. Frankly, it's such a colorful holiday. So then you like do all this depressing stuff going up to it and like the church is darker, all this stuff. And then all of a sudden it's like, yeah, and great. That's the right symbol, right? It's supposed to be rebirth and like
now we're
having it. So like it makes sense. But I don't think I fully like understood it until I was probably like in late elementary school that the whole thing is about dying.
About dying.
Like even the resurrection is about giving us life after death. Like the whole thing is about dying.
That's true.
Yeah. And then you read like, you know, the pop culture, there's just like rabbits and it's just a really surreal experience. If you like think about it for children, find the eggs, get the chocolate. Here's a carrot. Also, you now have life after death.
Also, like, I think I've said this in previous years, but the thing with kids is like they don't understand death, and death is one of those things that's very hard.
Yeah.
Talking about death with kids, you know. But then also something about death is like kids understanding the finality of it, like that you can't call somebody who died, like that it's, you know, death is final.
Hard.
But then you're like, oh, but there's this story about this guy who died, but then he came back to life. So
you're like, can you guys help us with education a little bit?
Yeah, it does not help. It doesn't help. I mean, there's already like video, you know, we have video games and stuff where you die and you come back to life. But then to be like, we're talking about this in church too. It just really not super helpful.
Right. Yeah. So yeah, we're going to talk about funerals today. So what I like, keep it chipper. Okay. I'll go into why I wanted to talk about it. But first I just wanted to ask you, like, are there things that are specific to you about like Catholic funerals, which we're going to go into it, but I'm curious, like, what do you think of when you think of like Catholic funeral?
When I think of Catholic funerals?
Yeah.
So honestly, bagpipes.
Oh, wow.
Which I understand is like culturally specific.
Yeah.
But a lot of bagpipes. Actually, this is funny. This just happened where I mentioned this on the St. Patrick's Day episode with Patty, but the PTO at my kid's school recently was like, maybe we should have a bagpipe like for St. Patrick's Day. And they ended up not doing it, but it was like somebody's idea. But I was like, oh, I think I could get a bagpiper. And I asked my friend whose dad was the drummer in a pipes and drums band for like our entire childhood. And the bagpipe scene at his funeral, as you can imagine, was wild. I mean, I'd seen some bagpipes. That was wild. But anyway.
I loved the concept of that.
But I had – so I texted – I was like, hey, could you, like, hook me up with a bagpiper if I needed to – you know, like, someone to be like, how much do you charge, whatever. And –
what's the going bagpipe rate?
She texted – I don't know. I didn't even end up – we didn't end up doing it. But she texted her mom and was like, hey, do we know a piper? And her mom was like, oh, yeah, such and such. She, like, had some nickname for him. She's like, tell him to, you know, to say that Diane sent you. And then she was like, why? Who died? Like – that was her
immediately
her assumption. Is that why you would have a bagpiper?
Yeah, like what else? I guess the bagpipers get hired out for St. Patrick's Day and funerals.
This
huh?
is their time of year, and otherwise it's funerals. It's like the main thing. So bagpipes fully make me cry because they just make me think of funerals.
Yeah.
And like sometimes incense, sometimes there's incense. Mm-hmm. Just a lot of – it's a lot of like pomp – like a lot of like smells and bells and like,
yeah,
feel like formality with funerals. And then usually like a good number of people who don't know the moves in the funeral because.
Oh, that's yes.
Because it's people who either aren't Catholic or haven't been to church in a very long time. And so there's like that vibe at a funeral.
Yes. So what the reason I was like, Anne, I want to do an episode about funerals. And she's like, sure. We can do that.
No, I'm fully here for it.
Okay. I'm like, I'm smiling and giggling because this is how I handle these sorts of things.
Many of us do.
Last year was like a year of lots of death mm-hmm. in my family. Mm-hmm. Personally, I was at more funerals in one year than I feel like the rest of my life combined. Like,
wow.
It was an intense year. And actually, we're recording this 2 days before the anniversary of my uncle Mike's death, in whose house I now live.
Wow.
And the funerals – so, again, like, now that I'm recording – like, we do this podcast, I view all of my Catholic experiences very differently. And this is my first set of funerals going to since we've been recording lapsed. So I was actively – reflecting upon the whole process as we did it. Mm-hmm. One of the things that's funny, at my uncle Mike's funeral, my sweet, beautiful cousins who were in the front row are not active churchgoers by any stretch of the imagination. And they were just up there in the front row, not knowing when to stand or sit. And I was just like, my mother-in-law, I was like, can we like, I wanted to like, I was trying to like push her towards the front. I was like, you need to like help everyone.
Yeah.
Because they're confusing.
We need a
everybody.
Leader. We need to I need Simon a leader. Says. Yeah.
It was just really fun. They were like, they were doing it, you know, old school, the way they had been raised and the things that had changed. They're like, no.
I'm with them.
They're like, we're doing it the way we want to do it. And I said, that's great. So I was thinking about that while you did it. But also, as we were doing these funerals and why I wanted to do this episode is I was thinking a lot about death and funerals and what they do for us. And also I realized a large part of why I don't like going to church is because I don't like talking about death all the time. I am not a person who's very comfortable with it. I have a long journey to go. On that front, it causes me a lot of anxiety.
Yeah.
Like I'll wake up in the middle of the night and my first thought will be like, I'm going to die. Like, and I'm just like, oh,
do you know there's a whole This American Life about that? About people
yes.
doing
and
that?
I listened to it. I wept.
There's like a montage in an old This American Life episode.
I wept the whole episode out of recognition because I was like, oh, there are other people who feel the way I do. That it made me feel so less alone because I. It's like I remember very vividly like my first panic attacks when I was like 10 and it all had to do with eternity. And so I didn't want to go to church because I didn't want to like have to – I'd rather put my head in the sand. Thank you very much. Like it was just too much for me to handle. And I was like, wait, can we talk about something else? But like we're just talking about in terms of Easter. It's like when you start all of church, all of religion – is about dying, really. Mm-hmm. Like, it's about living, quote unquote, but it's about living so that you get good death time, right? Like, it's all about how you're going to deal with your eternal life, your death life, your afterlife. Like, everything is in preparation for that. If you start, like, listening to your scriptures when you're having your panic attacks at age 10. It's like all I could hear.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. Although it's funny because I feel like there's a strong argument that that is a misinterpretation in a lot of what, at least in the New Testament, was about like heaven on earth kind of. It was like now, you know, but there.
That's what I love about Jesus.
Right. He's like less of the death stuff. Thank you. But I think.
Yes. And then they had to go and kill him.
Right. But then he came back. He came back. He faked us all out.
It's true.
Yeah. I don't know if you have thoughts of the reason for that. I think because it is a question, like people need some way to grapple with death since it's the one thing that is always true.
Right. Like these are incredibly hard questions to answer. And that's like the role religion has helped us. Mm-hmm. Like it answers those big questions for you. So you don't have to answer them all the time in the middle of the night. No, it's what I love. I do. Like I like that about Jesus, and it's the part that I try to do. And I think a lot of other religions maybe are more explicit about it, but it's like, let's just be nice to each other now.
Now, currently.
Would be great. That would be great. And not like I have to be a warrior for God for this like other life, I think is, I get really worked up when we, you know, talk about like people who inflict pain in the name of God. Mm-hmm. And that feels a lot. Yeah, about the afterlife kind of stuff. But anyway, all this to say, I was like, okay, well, what is uniquely Catholic and why do we do the things that we do? Because especially I started thinking about going to all these funerals. Like I could very well imagine a non-Catholic wedding for myself. And I did have not in a church outside wedding.
Yeah.
I don't know how to have a not Catholic funeral. Like
have you ever been to a non?
I've been to a couple. Last year, because it was the year, I went to my first one and I was like, this is bonkers. It was Presbyterian, but I've never been to a non-denominational funeral. Like
non-religious one.
Not in a church.
As you were talking, I was just thinking one of the things about Mass and other religions, other Christian services too, but Mass for sure is there's a lot of scripts. There's a lot of things that you're supposed to say. And with death, I feel like that's the time for me personally and for a lot of people where you don't know what to say. And so you don't have to think about it. It gets literally just written for you.
Yeah. It helps, right? Again, and things religion give you. It's like, and your script. You don't have to worry about it.
Just say these words. You don't know what they mean? Yeah. It's fine. Just say them. You're like, you're good. Bet it's as good as anything in this moment.
Right? Yeah. So I was thinking, like, right, you just talked about the wake, things like that. It's okay, let's just go through and some of the things that are what I believe are uniquely Catholic or mostly Catholic.
Yeah.
So like the very first thing, like even prior to dying, right? We have last rites.
Last
rites. Which is a sacrament. One of our seven sacraments. Mm-hmm. And so I was like looking up. I don't know very many people who actually got their last rites. As I like think about people who died, there were so many sudden deaths that there's no time to get the priest in kind of thing.
See, I think most people in my family have actually that I know of.
Did you ever have like a priest come to your house or,
no,
or
so
a house?
For my grandma's? No, for my grandma, I think I'm trying to remember because we didn't, she was in and out of the hospital all the time by the time she died. So I think it was one of those things we didn't know for sure, but I think we did end up doing last rites. Actually, my aunts and uncles were just talking about this. They were saying my grandfather, I hear that he stopped going to Mass when they stopped allowing a smoking section in the back. So that was probably like 1957.
Really? I would have thought it was like 1990.
Yeah, it was probably, I think it was like in the 70s where like they started having, like it used to be an option that you could just go stand in the back.
I cannot believe that. That's wild.
Yeah. So he was not like a regular Mass goer, but I mean, he was the son of Irish immigrants, had gone to Catholic school his whole life. And I think there was something, he had Alzheimer's, so he was not fully very lucid when he was dying. But my aunt said that there was talk, like, should we have a priest here for last rites? My grandpa didn't have a priest. Like, he hadn't been to church in a long time. He was living with my aunt. And someone was like, well, he's not, he's not particularly religious, whatever. And then, my aunt was like, no, he's like a Irish Catholic guy. Like, yes, you have to do it. And she said that they did bring in a priest, and that I thought this detail was sweet, that my grandfather like tried to make the sign of the cross on himself, which he Aww. Like, even though he like wasn't with it, which Aww. Is like very sweet.
That's sweet.
And I'm trying to remember, actually, I should ask my mom. I think a priest may have gone to the hospital and given my dad last rites, which is like, I'm surprised the flames didn't fly out of somewhere because he was like a fully an atheist.
He's like, but I do not do this.
The amount of Catholicism that happened with my dad's wake and funeral, considering that he was not a religious man, is, it's like funny in the dark humor way. But
right?
Yeah, I think a lot of people in my family got less rites, but it's often in the hospital. But there's a lot of Catholic hospitals right? around here, so I feel like it's easy. So there's just like a church like a wandering like around
there. Yeah. I mean, I think they do. I mean, I believe there's supposed to be like a priest and a rabbi or something like at most hospitals, like ready to yeah. go. I don't know. At least that's what happens in my imagination at hospitals. But, but right, the whole point of it is like real quick. Let's get rid of your sins. Like it's about sins,
right? It's like an extra layer of like,
oh, just like get rid of the rest of it before, hurry up. Like
maybe you'd, okay, maybe we're just going to assume that probably that person didn't come straight from confession. Maybe they have right. sinned a little bit since their last confession. So let's just wash them off at the end.
A quick scrub.
It's so weird, isn't it? Like the way that this is explained, I don't know.
I don't know. It's like, again, thinking of your grandfather who wasn't even terribly lucid or whatnot. I just, my brain, the idea that someone's grandfather or someone who's sick in the hospital, like our last, I don't think of them as sinning at that point, I guess is what I'm getting to. I'm just like, okay, that's our, we're still focused on yeah. this. Okay. All right. But I mean, right. If you're a real believer and you need to get those, you know, just like, let's make sure we're going to the right places afterward. Let's make it happen. I guess it's like the same issues I have with like baptism. I'm just like, can't we just be like, we love you. Like hugs. I don't know.
Right.
Does like the coding of sin washing at the thing. Beginning and end is.
Yeah.
I don't know. But I mean, I see like, again, if you believe in it, like why it's good and sending people off. Like the idea of any ritual, right, especially towards yes. the end of life, is precious.
Yes.
It's just the meaning of this one I have yeah. a little of an issue with. But
right.
But I think it can be beautiful.
I agree. I think there's something about the ritual that is really nice.
Yeah.
So it's sort of how you, I mean, I think a lot of things in Catholicism are like that. You're like, oh, it's really lovely. Technically, if you look too far into it, it's going to be like a little icky.
Yeah. no, thank you. But, you know, a lovely thing, especially for people who believe, who want to like be with their priest and have like a prayer mm-hmm. and all of that mm-hmm. stuff. I think it's a beautiful way to have something. And, you know, like that's what a lot of, I always depict it in movies. You're like, let's hurry up and get rid of some of these thoughts so you can leave with a clean mind or a clean conscience. Mm-hmm. There's good in that for sure.
Yeah, I think for some people that would be very comforting depending on.
Yeah.
Yeah. Depending on what kind of person you've been, or I don't know.
I keep looking this up, but it's like other people have, you know, different traditions, but like the whole concept of last rites
yeah.
is Catholic.
I think my grandma, I might be making this up, but I know this happens. I think my grandma might've gotten it more than once, or my great grandma. Like,
is it the anointing of the sick?
The thing is, I think she just thought she was dying a lot.
Oh, interesting.
Like she had cancer for a long time and was in remission for a long time, but she would be in the hospital a lot. I kind of, in my head, I think sometimes those things are like there must be a lot of situations where you're like, we don't know how terminal. Sometimes I feel like they don't know that someone is going to die or not, you know? So well, it's yeah, sort I mean, of like a hedge your bets type of a situation.
So you get your last rites, you don't die, you sin again a little bit.
Right.
Someone's, like the Lord's name in vain.
So you need another last rites. Gotta get
more last rites.
Yeah. I think that is not an uncommon occurrence.
I bet.
For like religious older people who maybe find themselves in the hospital a
keep
lot.
It coming.
Can't hurt. Let's just put on another layer. Why not?
Yeah. And it's just funny. Like, so this like comes up, you know, it's a lot. It's just whole concept of purgatory is just like very prevalent in the Catholic traditions yeah. around funerals, working really hard to get people out and how that burden is on the living.
On the living, yeah.
is fascinating to me. Because then they have, like, there's masses for the dead. Have you ever had a mass said for one of your family members? It's really big yeah. in my family.
You've mentioned it several times.
Yeah.
We had one for my dad in our house. That just oh, wow. it being in our house felt – that was the part that felt wild. We were just, like, in our living room. And I was like, this is – we're doing this here. This is oh, wild. Wow. So it was more like – as a kid, I just remember like sitting on the carpet being like, this is weird. This is, we're doing church. On the
carpet.
but yeah, I think that's it. Now that you say that, I'm like, we should probably have a mass said for my grandma like often because she was into it.
Yeah.
But your family, it sounds like you do it a lot.
It feels like this whole area is into it. But yes, our family does it. So for people who... for whom their Catholicism does not include this or don't know what I'm talking about. Like when I had two uncles who died last year and part of like the condolences that were given out was like, we would get someone would get a card or someone would tell you like, oh, I'm having mass said at St. Anthony's on such and such day. I'm having mass said at Notre Dame. And this is also like basically the south side of Chicago in terms of how many churches there are. So it's just like every person's local yeah, church, yeah. they're like, everyone's like, well, I got a mass here. I got a mass here. And it's like masses at like Tuesday at 9 and Thursday at 3. And it's just like all the masses.
Oh my gosh.
And it's just like, and my beautiful, wonderful aunts and uncles are like, they'll set like this massive group text, you know, this family of like 12 brothers and sisters, the group text is not for the faint of heart. And I'm on it. It's a lot.
I can imagine. That's a heck of a group text.
Whew, it's a lot. A lot of arguing about where the phone was in their house when they were growing up. but they're like, okay, my friend from work got this mass. Our third cousin got this mass. And everyone's like, okay, I'm going to cover this one. Like trying to make sure there's representation.
Oh.
At every mass.
Man, your family really out Catholics mine in a lot of... a lot of ways.
Maybe just in the funeral ways. I don't know.
They're really on top of it. That's impressive.
I start realizing I'm looking at my phone. I'm like, I didn't know there were this many masses in a week. Like the potential to be at church this much is overwhelming.
So much mass.
It's so much mass. But then it's like you go, right? It's like, we have to be there. It's like, it's for Willie. It's all this stuff. Or it's for my grandma. So they still have stuff for my grandmother and grandfather. And like, they're still being said. And then it's like just in that like section where it's like, and pray for Mary Jane, you know.
Yeah. You know. Say the name in the.
That's it.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, what is this? Right. Okay. So this is one of the big splits between like Protestants and Catholicism is like masses okay. for the dead, which I found fascinating. I mean, and also like not once you think about it because of the whole purgatory thing.
Yes.
Okay, I'm not even going to go into it. I'm just going to, like, say it here. Apparently, like, 2 Maccabees 1242
okay.
or something, they said something about, like, recovering the bodies of the dead and we pray for them. And that's where, like, this, like, like everything in all religions, they're like, it's half a sentence and now it's doctrine. I don't know.
Yes.
Well, I guess Protestants don't consider this actual scripture. Again, I am not a theologian and I... only read two articles about this, but it's something to do with like this little half a sentence.
Okay.
And like Martin Luther was like, this is hocus pocus. Like, I think that's the quote. Luther's hocus pocus.
Kind of is hocus pocus, but that's why we're here.
And that's why I like it. I like the magic part. If you dig into it, there's actually a lot of strife amongst Catholics because it's like either you did your life and your spiritual identity is written. Mm-hmm. Or it's flexible, right? Like, so which one is it? The purgatory thing just like throws this whole wrench into like either you can change what you did in your life or you can't.
Yeah.
Like, so a lot of people just don't like to think about it. It's easier to just do the thing. Or you're like praying to help. Like you're having these masses because you're praying for their souls because you're trying to help
get them to heaven.
People getting to heaven.
But we don't know if they're in heaven. You're just like, it's another hedging your bets situation.
If my grandma did not make it to heaven, I don't know who does. Like, I don't understand how anything works.
Yeah.
So why are we having a mass for her? And it's like, again, getting back to it, like, I actually, this is something I like. And it was really soothing after I lost my uncles to, I started going to some of these masses. A, the non-Sunday masses are so short. They're great. Like, just in, out, we do the thing. And it was just a time to, like, I'm not ready to be done remembering them. Like, I'm not over my grieving process.
Yeah.
And so, especially with a child at home, I didn't feel like I could grieve. Like, I had to rush through it. I had to, like, so my uncle, Willie, he took his own life last year. And that was particularly tough for a lot of reasons. Mm. But I, like, the day it happened, well, I just remember the day after it happened was the day we were, like, getting ready to give Xavier his first solid foods, right? Like, it was like, he's 6 months old and the markers and we're like all ready for it. And I just remember, like, trying to celebrate my child's milestone while trying to deal with, like, this shock of grief in my life. And then I was like, I can't say I'm done grieving at all by any stretch of the imagination, but I felt like I couldn't wallow in it. And it was the first, you know, my first death with a child in my life. And I was like, without going to those masses, I don't know when it would hit me when I wasn't planning on it hitting me, as opposed to being like, okay, I have Thursday at 3 o'clock, this weird mass I'm going to try to get to. Sometimes I would make it there, but I can spend a minute dealing with it there. And, like, scheduling my grief in these, like, pockets was helpful.
Yeah. I think that's great. And that's, like, really – that's, like, a nice reflection on that. Because that's what I was going to say when you talked about the whole purgatory thing. I think so often we see this with so many things in Catholicism where, like, the official doctrine isn't the actual reason people do it, right?
Right.
That I think most people who have a mass said for somebody – or go to the mass, are doing it, they're having the mass said to help their own grieving process, or because it's a kindness to the family, they see it that way, you know? Or you're wanting that time to, like, feel connected to the person, to, like, have that time for grief. I think you're right. I don't know. What do you think? Do you think most people in those situations are thinking, like, oh, I'm helping my loved one get out of purgatory? Or are they just, like, there for the feeling connected, remembering that person?
I mean, I'm sure some people are like, I have to do, like, I gotta say my prayers for the people to get them out.
Which feels unhealthy.
It does. It almost feels psychotic to me, but.
It does. It feels like if you're a person obsessing about that, then, like, I feel very sad and you need, like, I hope you get support, you know?
And it also is, like, one of those moments where I get super mad at this construct of God.
Yeah.
I'm like, if he wants us to spend this precious short life we have doing this, like, come on, dude.
Yeah. Yeah, like, no, it's so silly. It doesn't make any sense.
Like, why is it on us? Like, why can't we enjoy the gift of life? And my trees in the sky and all the things, you know, like, all this stuff. Like, why I gotta spend it saying prayers for the system you set?
Yeah.
It, like, makes me crazy. But when you... Yeah.
I don't know. No, it just makes me think, like, I think because ancestor worship or, like, ancestor, like, people being connected to their ancestors is something that you see in, I mean, much of the world. That's, like, a very old practice, right? Is to in some way have an altar, have pictures, have, like, connect to your, like, Dia de los Muertos. There's, like, a lot of ancestor worship. And I mean, you look at, like, places where we have this access to very old practices, like in East Asia or parts of Africa, right? So it seems like a very human thing. And so this, I have no idea, but this feels again like maybe one of those constructs we've put on top of something humans are already wanting to do.
Right. Yes. And, like, I wish we would just frame it that way, or maybe I need to convert to a religion that does. But... Right. Dia de los Muertos is, like, the very obvious one that most people know of. That was like, it's about our ancestors, keeping them in our thoughts. I think that's beautiful. I don't know. I have no problem with that. But I think, like, when you go to these masses, it's kind of nice to see who else shows up, who else is also thinking of your loved ones.
That's true. That's a good point. That's the thing about wakes too, I think, right? Is like,
yes.
It's like about connecting with other people. And it's like this weird, I don't know. We just so often we're not talking about death. I think as people get older, they're talking more about death, or if someone has a terminal illness or a family member who does. But yeah, it's like this weird space where death is in the room with us and we're like all cognizant of it somehow. And there's this different kind of connecting and we're seeing people that we wouldn't normally see. And there's like something kind of holy about it. So yeah, I could see the masses. I see lots of reasons why having a mass for somebody is a nice idea. I don't like the purgatory part. You're right. Is like,
that's what gets me. I'm like, I could see where the Protestants were like, no, not that part.
Yeah, sure.
Do you light candles as well?
That was, as you were talking, that was something I was thinking of. My grandma was a big candle. I have a lot of memories like the red candles, like when you would walk into St. Tribia's church and my grandma lighting a candle and like you'd put money in it, right? I think you'd like put some coins in it to light a candle too.
Usually, yeah.
Yeah. And I remember that being like a thing that was like exciting, and that she would, I don't know if I was actually lighting the candle. Maybe I was putting the coins in. I think that was like a fun activity to do that I was like involved in. But I think it was for like her dad. Like when I think about my grandma, it was like her dad and her brother and like people who had died.
Right. And there's like beautiful symbology. Yeah. Like about lighting candles. You know, there's like, you know, the light of life, the briefness of a candle flame, all of that to think about. I know that's a large part. My family's very, yes, we're very big candle lighters.
Very candle forward.
Oh, every time like I'm going through something, my dad will like text or call me and be like, I lit a candle for you.
Oh,
like
that's so sweet.
I'm like, okay, you know, then it's obviously going to work. but we would go in, we'd light the candles for the people in our family who died. We went on this, we did like a European road trip vacation when I was 15.
Mm.
And we took my grandma. We visited my family that was in like stationed in Germany and Belgium and then like our cousins in Slovakia. And we like drove.
Okay.
I remember every church, because we took my grandmother, every church we had to go in and do candles with my grandma. And I was just like, I know nothing of Europe other than the churches.
Church candles. Yes.
Just, I mean, people got prayed for while we were on that vacation.
I bet. That's some serious prayer. I mean, churches are pretty. That's like a fun, that's like your
well,
own little.
European churches.
I was
going to
goodness. Like architecture tour and art. I'm sure it was beautiful.
Right. But just like the other stuff, you dig into it and a lot of it has to do with purgatory.
Yeah.
Keeping the memory of them alive. It's funny, right? Because like for like the Mexican tradition of Dia de los Muertos, it's like there's like keeping the soul from like disappearing in a way. And it's got to have been appropriated from other things in the Catholicism in terms of like praying for our souls and lighting candles. But to think that lighting again, like, I've got to light this candle because otherwise my loved one's going to be punished more is, again, like just a lot.
Yeah.
It's
no.
a big burden.
Yeah. It makes me think of like, we've talked about this before, just like a feeling of powerlessness.
Yeah.
The things we do when we feel like we don't have the power to do anything else.
Light a candle.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what? And this is very tangentially related, so I apologize, but
no,
I was thinking probably about this podcast and like some Bible story. Oh, because I was thinking about all this thing of like, you know, people are always like talking to God or had a vision. Like there were a lot of visions and saints have had visions.
Mm-hmm.
And I just one day was like, well, there wasn't any electricity. I just feel like if I lived in a world with less light and like the windows are open, we don't have air conditioning, and like there's no buzz of appliances, I just feel like I might be seeing and hearing more stuff too.
Right? More shadows, more.
There's probably just a lot. Maybe all that stuff is happening currently, but we can't hear it over the hum of the refrigerator. Maybe if I, you know, I don't know.
I feel like I need to ponder.
But I'm just thinking, like, lighting a candle when there was no electricity was it was like the way you had light. So it's just, it was a different thing than it is now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, lighting a candle is purely a choice versus it used to be like more of a utilitarian thing. And then it also just lit the room much more. There was more darkness. I don't know.
I remember thinking about, I don't know, that plus like, oh, I wonder why you're talking. I'm like, is that why we have to pay to light the candle?
Because
you're talking about dropping. We always had to, you had to pay something. Yeah. It always says like, put that there. I remember very vividly once lighting a candle and I didn't have any cash on me. And I was like, I think I've got to go to confession. I think I just stole.
I stole light.
Like I was racked with guilt.
Yeah, I would be too. I'm not, that sounds like other person might be like, that's crazy. I'm like, agreed. I would feel that way.
Put a dollar in the donation thing to light a candle for somebody I loved. But I was like, I was moved to do it. But I was like, I didn't pay the church and the church is going to be mad at me.
Now you could just like go and Venmo the church or whatever afterwards.
Now, yeah, this is.
Currently, that is what one could do.
Can you imagine? Oh my gosh, I can't even. Like seeing a Venmo like scan code next to a candle.
No, that would be. Oh, I wonder if anyone does that. That feels like maybe a megachurch. They've got to, but not us. Not us. Not the lapsed Catholics.
You can't pull your phone out at church. Can't you? No, you can't do that.
It's not supposed to exist in church.
No, that feels so wrong.
Okay, if anyone, I don't like it. If anyone has ever seen a. Like a Venmo or Zelle candle situation. If there's QR codes, I'm sure there are QR codes in Catholic churches now.
Yeah.
For something, but that just feels weird.
So strange.
It's supposed to feel like the past.
If there was like on the basket, as it's getting passed around.
Yeah. Well, that is something because I, why did I go to church recently? I don't go to church. There's a church in the city that we partner with. They're like our sister church. So anyway, it was like a thing that we were doing with them. So I went for that because they needed people to bring food for after. And anyway, but like I didn't put anything in the basket and a lot of people don't. But I think it's because a lot of people are paying online, like making a donation online.
Yeah. I panic. Okay. So like I've been going to church more than I've this last year. I like started going a little bit. For these masses when I could and the funerals. And if like, I don't have a couple bucks in my pocket, like, I'm like, I have to put something in the basket.
Otherwise you're like avoiding eye contact. That's what I do.
Like we're walking in the church. I'm like, Tom, did you bring your wallet? I have to get cash. I have to bring cash into church.
Do you bring Xavier with you to church or is it usually just?
I have. Like we brought him to the Christmas mass.
Okay.
I took him to the funerals. The first one. He was just 6 months old and he slept through the whole
thing. I was going to ask how it went and if it was stressful or.
It was a little stressful. I had to say the eulogy at my Uncle Willie's and I was shaking so bad. I was like, I can't hold my son. Oh. But before the service and after I was done, this sounds horrible, but I was like, he's the perfect shield. Like, I'm like, oh, I can't talk to, I couldn't do small talk. I'm like, here, look at my baby. Don't talk to me.
Right. I think that's great.
Or like, oops, I got to go do another diaper change. Like, whoops, I had to keep like
gotta
leaving.
Gotta walk out. Yeah. Yeah.
And then at my Uncle Mike's, which was also sudden, but not as tragic. And he was such a lover of kids, like just the best uncle, like funniest guy. Having a kid there, I think just helped. Mm. Everyone was like, he was a nice little balm. It's like too much of an emotional burden to put on a baby, but like people would stop crying for a second, you know, and it was nice to have him there. And
yeah.
He is a Leo. So he was like, huh, you're looking at me. Hello. so he was fine with it. If he was more of an introvert, I maybe wouldn't have brought him into that situation.
Yeah.
But he handled it really well. I mean, we do a little walk around when I take him to church, but he generally likes to just watch things. So
yeah,
it worked. Well, that's good. Okay so far. Yeah. Yeah.
I feel like kids would not last a mass, but maybe I'm not giving them enough credit, but I just feel like it wouldn't go well.
Right. It's just funny. You had to look around and see all the kids playing with toys in the pews.
Oh yeah.
I was like, we were not allowed to do that.
You're like bitter. You're like, I had a rosary. Maybe.
I had to like make stories up about the stained glass people. Like that's all I had to do.
Oh yeah. That's a good one. I remember a game I would play just in my head when I was bored. And this was toward the end of mass. It was like communion time. After I got communion, as people came down or after, I guess I was even too young to get communion. So whatever, as I'm sitting there and people are like coming down after getting communion, I would guess their name. I would be like, he looks like a George. A good one. She looks like a Sally. I would just like guess names. And it has to, you have to do it kind of quickly because there's like, they're coming kind of fast.
They go fast. Yeah. Yeah. That was the best part when the like proceeding to communion, we get to do the best people watching.
Yes. You're like, what are people wearing? What's happening? Mm-hmm. They just make faces who's like, at somebody.
Like super devout as they go down.
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry. Back to funerals.
No, I just like, I love it. One of the other things, you know, we talked about, I mentioned how my uncle died and I was scared going to church about what they were going to say about suicide because I don't know about you, but the message I received growing up was like, that's a mortal sin.
Yeah.
And I knew, I was like, I am not going to be able to keep my cool if this priest says anything mean about my uncle. Mm-hmm. Like I'm going to like lose my complete and utter shit at this funeral. And this priest was magnificent.
Okay. He's like
a magnificent human being. But I like remember like I was saying I was shaking. I was like, part of it was like, I'm terrified. And then I was like so mad. I was like, how dare the church put any of us in this position?
In that position, yeah.
They have changed their doctrine. I even looked it up afterward because I was like, is this just one cool priest? Like, what's the deal? But they have changed their tune since I was growing up, for sure. And talking about like mental health and addiction and all sorts of stuff around death that is less punishing towards those people who are struggling and die as a result of that. Because that is not the church I grew up in and it made me angry.
Mm-hmm.
So many of my family members talked about how Father Mike is his name, how he – they were just like, oh, okay, like I can handle this and I can go – like if it weren't for this priest at this time, that they might be very, very stuck and he was what they needed to hear and he did it, he did a very good job.
That's great.
But I just – it makes me it's still like as I'm talking about it, I'm like – wow, like, but what if we got one of those not great priests?
Yeah.
Like, how much is hanging on that for a family is scary.
That's really true. And that must be a hard thing to do, I think, as any clergy person, and to do a funeral. I mean, it's so much of the job. There's a lot of it.
Yeah. I mean, another priest could have taken it. He could have taken it and been like, this is why this is wrong and why we can't let these things happen. Or like, done it, turned it somehow.
Yeah.
I mean, I've seen priests do worse with less material. Right.
Well, good. So, I'm glad that the priest. Yeah. That really is an art. Because, like I said, it's really hard to know what to. That's the hardest time to know what to say. So when a priest handles the funeral really well, or just gets some little details about the person in a way that makes it feel personalized about them and that kind of a thing.
And that's the other thing about like funerals, thinking about them. What do I want? I don't know. But it's like the person who is trained to do this the most, like priests have to go to more funerals than the average bear.
It's true.
You know, they get more weddings too, probably, but they hopefully are good at this aspect of their job. And without a priest, I can imagine it being a lot harder in a lot of ways.
Yeah. I can think of examples of priests who did really well.
And
ones that did not go well. There, I know for my grandfather, it was the priest. He didn't have a parish. So they went to the parish they grew up in. And that was I knew that priest was awful. He was bizarre and super conservative.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of an asshole in general. And I knew because I think I'd been to something else there and run into him. Or maybe, I'm trying to think. I think it was before so before I got my son baptized there and he was like, a jerk about my kid's name.
Over the phone.
Yeah. But anyway, I was like, can we get any other priest? And none of our like family friend priests were available. And so we had to get this guy. And I sang the mass and it just wasn't done well. I mean, just felt like awkward and weird. And afterwards I was like, yeah, I really didn't want that priest. And I remember my uncle was like, oh, you knew it was going to be that way. And I was like, yes,
you're like,
but none of you people do Catholicism anymore. So I knew nobody here had a priest and our family couldn't grab any of our priests.
Right.
So then my grandmother died on my dad's side. When my dad's mom died, same thing. She was not practicing or, you know, she wasn't a regular mass goer or anything, but we got our family friend, Father Tom, to do the mass, thank goodness.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember I sang that mass as well with my cousin, who is not Catholic, is Lutheran, and I think was like, what's happening? And it was with this, there was this nun who was accompanying us. Uh-huh. And there was a song I wanted to sing, Precious Lord, which is a, it's like a spiritual.
Yes.
And yes. This is very specific. This sounds weird, but I had, when I directed the Vagina Monologues in college, my grandma came to see it, which is adorable. And there was a vocalist that I met who like performed that after the show or before the show. I can't remember. And it kind of isn't related, and that was an odd choice, but I remembered she liked that song. So I was like, I want to sing the song. And the nun was like, we don't want Father to get upset. And I was like, oh, okay. But then her eyesight wasn't very good. And halfway through the mass, she leans to me and whispers, wait, that's not Father whoever, like the priest. And I was like, no, that's a family friend of ours. And she was like, oh. And I was like, damn it. I thought she meant that like he was around and was going to like give her a hard time. And I was like, I should have sang the song. But yeah, that was like, I was not allowed to sing a non-Catholic song. She was like, oh, it's a Protestant song, isn't it? I don't think you should do that. And I was like, cool, it's my grandma. But
yeah,
I guess you're in charge here. This
priest is happy.
Yeah. So that was kind of a bummer. One of my best friends, when her dad died, they played the song on a radio or what radio. Mm-hmm. I sound a million years old. on some type of device. They played the song Put Me In, Coach, because he liked that song and he was like a coach to all their teams. And I think the priest, it was our family friend, he looked a little irritated, but he let it happen, kind of a thing. So I think he knew it was going to happen.
Wow.
But I think that is the one thing with Catholic funerals and weddings, is that there's so many rules.
That's it.
And sometimes that is helpful, but oftentimes I think like families are not able to personalize things maybe in the way they want to because there's so many rules.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you still have to get to the mass. You only get the eulogy.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, that's it.
That's your time.
Whereas I've been to the Presbyterian service I went to, I was like, they just were like, anyone who wants to speak at any time can stand up. And I was like, I'm sorry, you can, nuh-uh. No, you cannot. No, you cannot. You can't just talk. Like, this is crazy.
What is this? Yeah.
You have to be the one person that was invited. And I mean, I was just I like half the people I couldn't hear because, you know, they're not mic'd or whatever. And everyone's like still like, as like my like performer side of me, I'm like, director, I'm like, this is not well designed.
That's funny you say that, because last time I was at church, not Catholic church, but they did a thing that they're not, this was a different minister, and I hadn't seen this, which is like, instead of having people to pray for during the petitions, they just passed a mic around, and my stick in the mud self, I hated it. And then once it was happening, I was like, wait, aren't I like all about like community and including the audience and things, like I should be all about this. But yeah, I'm glad you said that, because I feel like it is a Catholic thing where it's like, no, you can't just like leave it up to chance.
No, who knows what's going to happen? Who's going to be mumbling?
Yeah, you don't know. Or someone could say, someone could ramble on for a long time. I was just like, my control freak self was really panicking. I had to have a moment with myself where I was like, Anne, this is a you problem.
I know. I went to this service and I was like, okay, told my husband, like, I'll be back, you know, in an hour or whatever, because that's how long mass is.
Yeah.
And it was like almost 2 hours long. I was like, there's a time limit to these things.
Oh, no.
Because it was a great celebration of life. A lot of people had a lot of stuff to say. But I was like, I'm sorry, there's a schedule.
Yeah, you're like becoming the stage manager. You're like, people need to get home.
I mean, how often has church ever veered? Like, you could set your watch, like, 5 minutes and you do this, 10 minutes you can do this.
There's a structure.
It's not a free-for-all. Yeah.
This is what Catholicism did to us. Like, listen, people.
I like my order.
Well, I think to bring it back to funerals, I think that is what is comforting, because
yes,
everything feels unstable when someone has died. And you're like, what do I do? And the thing that you do is you start planning a funeral mass and you talk to the funeral home and you make decisions about caskets and flowers and all those things you choose the songs for the funeral, and all those things give you something to do.
Yes, right? Your assignment.
Yeah.
Speaking of caskets and things, I had to think about the last two things. I want to be like, I have to mention these, otherwise it's not about Catholic funerals. One is, you mentioned it, The Wake.
Yes.
I just rewatched Dairy Girls because I'm absolutely obsessed with it.
I haven't watched all of it, and I need to, because also I'm going to Ireland this summer, but I need to.
Okay, we'll talk about that. But there's a part where there's a wake, and there's the one English Protestant boy that's in their group, and they walk in the room, and he's like, oh! And they're like, what? They're like, there's a dead body here. And they're like, yeah, it's a wake.
That's what we do.
Like, what are you talking about? Like, there's a dead body here. The whole open casket, like we all gather for that. I laughed so loud at that line because I was just like, yes, this is what we are. This is what we do. Yeah. Like, it's just there, the going up, genuflecting at the casket. Mm-hmm. It's one of the things I completely took for granted that like everyone does this.
Same.
Right? And now more and more people are getting cremated, which is changing. Again, like something else the church is showing flexibility on. But even that now, people are often getting cremated after the wake.
After like the wake, still, yeah. You can do that.
It's very rarely before. And I know so few people who are actually comfortable with this process, but you're like, but you have to do it. And I was like, oh, it's so odd. It's so odd. And, you know, there's the whole way in which the people are like preserved and displayed. It's just, it can get real eerie sometimes.
Yeah.
And you know, almost everyone is like, that's not how they looked. Or like, it's a big compliment to be like, oh, they look just like they did when they were
like, oh, to be like, oh, they look beautiful. They look,
such an odd thing. Again, I don't even know the full history of that.
First of all, I've heard some people refer to wakes as Irish specifically, which I was like, I thought they were just like Catholic in general, because the Polish definitely do that and the, you know.
Yeah. Irish have the bagpipes.
Like they, yes. Yeah.
You get to that bring whole it vibe to a whole other level.
I think there's like a wives tale kind of thing that Irish wakes happen because like people got drunk and so you'd wait to see if they'd wake up kind of thing.
Yes, that's what I've heard. Like the word wake comes from like, we need to make sure they don't wake up.
Yeah. Like, are they actually dead? Because maybe before people had medical access. Might just I don't
be
know.
A coma. Yeah. But it's also like a way of, I mean, a lot of religions have this, but it's just like part of it, I think, also comes from like staying awake by staying vigilant, keeping vigil. Mm-hmm. I don't know why you have to guard. I'm sure there has something to do with like demons and dark spirits about like keeping watch over their body, like from pagan times. I'm sure it goes way back.
Probably.
It's also, as weird as some of the open casket stuff can be, it's always been kind of my favorite part, especially when it's somebody we all loved a lot because, well, there's like, I always feel like there's the formal and informal version, right? Like when in our family, when someone dies, we go to the house. We go to someone's house, whoever's house has been designated. Mm-hmm. And we just gather and we just keep eating and we just like are together from the moment it happens until the day of the funeral, however many days that is. The body's not with us, but we're just like there drinking, eating. It's not a fasting time. I know some religions are good about that. We do the opposite.
No, lots of eating.
Like, remember when my grandma died, we just came to her house and we were all there. People just kept bringing food and drinks. I don't even know who they were. Yeah. We played cards. Everyone was in this tiny house. Like, so many people in this tiny house, just like telling stories, passing around pictures. And then you have the formal wake where you all get dressed up and you have to stand in line while everyone like comes down and like hugs you. Mm-hmm. Did you have to do that with like, your dad?
Yeah. I mean, I don't think they made me stand in line. I remember sitting on the couch. I don't know. My dad had 2 days of a wake. So
wow.
It was like it's weird. It's surreal to think about. I had like my best friend with me and my brother, and we would like, it was like we were hanging out on the couch, or then we'd go to like, we called it, I do remember we called it the room.
Where like adults were standing?
No, the room that had people kept leaving food, like this little side room.
Oh yeah.
And we were like, let's go to the room. Like you'd sort of, I don't know. It's so weird. It's weird to think how young I was and that's we were doing that. And there were like all these nuns coming in and my mom's nun aunt and all her people. I don't know. It was a lot. It was like people out the door both days. Yeah, but that's the thing. You stand in line. I realized last time I went to a wake, I was like, I hadn't rehearsed what I was going to say. I don't know. And then you get up there and you're like, I think I made the mistake of feeling like I need to say something, the right thing or comforting. Yeah. I've since been like, just like, I'm sorry for your loss, or like such and such. Like, I remember whatever.
Yes.
Like things you remember about the person. Those are the things I think you do.
Oh, yeah.
I have thinking about wakes, my best childhood friends, her dad died. And then shortly after that, her like uncle or like cousin, uncle person, like cousin, but old enough to be an uncle type of person died. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I remember standing in the very long line.
Yes.
Like outside on the sidewalk, and her brother and some cousins walked past, and I was like, oh, hey, guys. And they were like, oh, hey. And then 2 minutes later, her brother came back and was like, Annie, get out of line. Just come up. Come in the funeral home. Like, you don't need to be in the line. And I got in there. And my friend's mom was like, yeah, just sneak. Do you want me to get you in there? Just sneak. I'll get you in there. You can go say a prayer. Do you need to say a prayer?
Wow. Like,
it was just like that. That is a thing, too. Like, who counts as family versus the people who stand in the line?
Yeah.
And family can stand in the line, but it's mostly like extended family. You might stand in the line. But if you're close family, you're inside right away.
I felt so bad for two people came to my uncle Mike's wake, because it started off with just his sons up front and their significant others. And we all just ended up getting put in there and in the line. And so like, he's one of 12 people. And then all of us cousins, all of us,
oh my God.
This line, the line for people to go down and say the thing you rehearsed. Yeah. Like, I'm so, by the time, like they were, it took so long for people to come around this line.
Yeah.
And I was at the end because I was like going in and out with my kid and whatever, like I heard that stuff was happening. And so by the time they get to me, they're just like, everyone's tired. No one's sad anymore because they've said it like 5 times. So like, hey, Steph, how's it going? I'm like, I'm good. Like, I was just like, everyone's just done by the, it was hilarious.
That's really funny. Yeah. It's a long, long receiving line.
Right? And then you get your swag. Have you gotten – do you have funeral cards in your family?
Yeah, which is like a picture of the person and then there's some kind of prayer or something.
Right, like usually on one side it's like a saint or Mary or Jesus. And then on the other side there's usually a little picture or the – and then it's like their name and a prayer they may have picked out if they were good at planning their funeral ahead of time. Or
can I tell you my favorite, though?
Yes.
My grandma McNamee knew she was dying. I was there when she died, actually. But by the time I got there, she was at my aunt's house where she'd been living. And by the time I got there, she was not conscious, but like, and hospice was there and everything. But she had been, I mean, the day before, she had been conscious and knowing she was going to die and like, just calmly saying goodbye to people, which is wild to me.
Yeah.
So she designed a mass card. I think my aunts or somebody was like, should we design a mass card? Like, what do you want on there? And like I said, she converted to Catholicism when she was younger for her husband, and she was not particularly religious most of her life.
Mm-hmm.
So on the front, I love this. She did not choose a recent picture of herself. She chose a gorgeous picture of herself when she used to work at a modeling agency in her 20s.
Yes!
And I was like, it is odd that we always want to choose the picture of the person like around the time they died. Like their whole life was them. All those photos are of them.
Right.
So yeah, she chose this gorgeous photo of herself. She looks like a Hollywood star. Then on the back, she wrote a poem. I forget the whole thing, but it was like, play some music when I'm gone and somewhere I'll be dancing was the last line.
Aww.
It was so sweet. But I just, I was like, I really love that she was not very like ostentatious or anything, but she was like creative, just sort of like quietly creative, I would say. And yeah, I love that. I was like, she really went in a different direction with this. She was like, I'm not choosing a saint.
That.
There's no Virgin Mary. Just like a gorgeous picture of me at my prime before I had any children when I was well rested. And then like a poem. And I was like, I really love that. I love that she made it her own.
That's beautiful.
I don't remember my other grandma, but I'm sure it was just like saints and prayers and Catholic-y stuff.
Right. Every time I move or I'm like looking for a book on my bookshelf, inevitably prayer cards will like, they're like great aunts, great uncles, grandparents I never met. Like it's just, I'm like so scared. My bad, I was going to die soon. No, I can't throw them away.
No. I found prayer. I think I mentioned this. I found prayer cards from like the 60s when I was going through my grandma's stuff after she died.
Yeah.
Because she kept them, of course.
I mean, they're there for you. Again, it's like, oh yeah, reminder, I got to pray for this person. But it's also, I don't know. I think that's part of like why they exist. But it is nice, a little like, oh, how, yeah, mm-hmm. Ethel, one of my great aunts whose funeral card I found the other day.
There she is.
I was like, yeah, hey, aww, what's up? Like, there let me think of you.
Still around.
Right? She just tumbles out. But they're like the baseball cards of Catholicism. They're hilarious.
They are. They are. Oh my gosh. We've been talking for about funerals for a long time. I just realized how long. It feels like it's flown by. I don't know why.
We had a lot to say.
We really did.
I'm glad I got to. I've been like wanting to talk about it because, again, just seeing them in a new light, I'm still like contemplating why they are the way that they are and what they mean and what they mean to me. But this last year, I was like, I'm grateful for like knowing what I have to do in my Catholic. Like, I was like, I'm grateful for being raised Catholic in this moment.
Yeah.
It's giving me a structure for my grief.
Yeah, which, as I mentioned in our last episode, that was my friend's uncle's kind of argument for her uncle, who was a priest, who, side note, I didn't know this. We were good friends my whole life. Her uncle was divorced and somehow became a priest.
Oh.
After his divorce. He had kids.
I'm sorry. We need to talk about that more.
I know. I was like, how? She was like, yeah, when he became a priest, like, there were news cameras and stuff. It was like a big deal. Like, the Pope had to okay it. So that's just a side note. But anyway, this person, he made that argument of like, when things are really difficult, I think it's important to arm your children with some kind of practice to fall back on. And I was like, I mean, that's not Catholicism specific. I think that's just like it's an argument for giving your kids some kind of religion and
tradition or religion.
Yeah. And it's not a bad argument because it's sounding like what you're saying is like, that really is your reality. Like, that is what has been helpful.
Yeah. I mean, in lieu of a culture, because we're American, mm-hmm. like what I have tradition wise is religion, mm-hmm. and I think traditions, when you don't know what to do or to say, like we're talking about, like it gives you some parameters at least, so you're not just free falling.
Yeah, gives you a script, gives you something to do,
and I'm grateful for it. And again, like super grateful to like the very good priest.
Yeah.
Because it's a gift. It was it was a real gift to have somebody to guide a group of people who generally are practicing Catholics into a good headspace. And and I'm great, like, consternation about purgatory aside, like having built in structures to continue being together, I'm really grateful for. Mm-hmm. So it's not just like, and we're done. And now I've got to like deal with all of my grief alone.
Yeah.
So thank you, Catholic Church.
I was going to say, this is one of the episodes where Catholicism, it's not like they're, I mean, we can't go an episode without having some critiques.
Yeah.
But sounds like where it came out on top a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit, maybe.
Occasionally. Yeah. We find some things in there.
Great. Well, I know we haven't done one that's just the two of us for a while, and I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, this was lovely, even talking about funerals.
All right. I was trying to think of an organization.
Yeah.
I have been slow to fully delve into what's happening in the Democratic Republic of Congo because the few bits of time I have to read the news, I got into some other areas of the world that I needed to think about. Yeah. So anyway, right now, all I have is Oxfam, who's helping out the crisis. I can send you that link right now because there are a lot of people who are very hungry there and needing help.
Great. We will link it in the comments. All right, Steph. Well, thanks for leading this one.
You got it, Anne.
Till next time. And also with you.
Also with you, Anne.